Hi, everyone. Welcome to Possibility Realm Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am so excited. I have a very special guest with me, my dear friend, co-worker, as a trauma recovery coach, my sister. In fact, she's very special to me, and I'm so happy to introduce her to you this month, which is the Women's History Month. She's a woman who has had a huge impact in my life. Today, I want to introduce you to Siya Moyiwa. Siya is a certified trauma recovery coach and Christian counselor. She's a transformational speaker, prophetic poet, author, and minister. She is a true instrument of God called to help souls that have been bound by the traumas of life. Siya is the CEO and founder of Instrument of God Ministries, where she is called to inspire, motivate, and equip individuals that have been bound by the traumas of life to heal and walk into their God-given wholeness. While serving as a certified trauma recovery coach, Sia's clients have experienced tangible results, including complete healing from personal trauma and the removal of cognitive blocks hindering success in their work, personal, and spiritual lives. She has been a featured guest in local magazines like Voyage Houston, Shane Magazine, and Women Empowered Nurse, on podcasts like The Late Night Talk Show and Girlfriends Let's Talk. Girl, you are amazing, Sia. I love you so much. I mean, despite your busy schedule, you constantly pull me up to grow with you. You take me out of my comfort zone and place me in places to challenge my potentials. I am so blessed to have known you and to share you with my audience today on this podcast.
Thank you, Mani. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. So, Sia, can you tell us more about you and what is your favorite memory growing up?
So you've said a nutshell about who I am, so I'm not gonna overextend that. But I will say that one thing about me is I'm a lover of God. I know that that is part of why my business is successful, my ministry is successful, because that is the foundation. And I believe that God has allowed me to be the true model of what healing looks like. So my theme is about all things healing in every capacity of a person's life, right? My goal is to focus on the whole person and not just an aspect of the person. So my favorite memory growing up, while I have many, I'm going to say one of the things that's near and dear to my heart since my father has passed is just growing up and always traveling with my father, just him picking me up from school and us taking various travels to different places. I think that's, it's given me a sense of how to navigate in life. Yeah. I'm one of those people's like, I don't need directions. You show me how to get there one time and I'll always remember how to get there. And just, you know, just talking to him, eating with him, that is something that's always stuck with me. And so as I've grown up, I love to be in the car, taking long trips and traveling somewhere.
Oh, wow. That's so beautiful. And it speaks so much to my heart, holding the memories of our fathers. I shared a similar experience. My father also passed when I was about 8 years old. And my best memory as a child was traveling with him. And he was in a different nation. So going to visit him. So, yeah, that really speaks to my heart.
It sticks with me.
Now, coming down to what you do as a trauma recovery coach, how do you define trauma?
Well, I know that everybody defines trauma a little differently. So for me, I would say trauma is a distressing or disturbing experience. Mm-hmm. It is a forceful impact or emotional shock that shifts your mind, body, and soul out of its divine alignment. And so, trauma really wrecks your life.
Yeah.
Just plain and simple, that is what trauma is. It's something that happens too fast, too soon, and you're unprepared.
Yeah, that's really good. I love your definition of trauma, because like I said, it really wrecks your life, right? It is the residual of a distressing event. And I mean, that residual can manifest itself internally as self-pity, stagnation.
Yes.
In life goals, just like the clients who help, and lack of confidence or self-destructive thoughts. Or it could also manifest externally through substance use, mistreatment of others, or self-degrading behaviors. So as African immigrants, there are some things we experience that we don't talk about in our social discourse, yet it is passed on it is passed on to our diaspora born children in subtle ways, and it has an overwhelming effect in their lives, just like the effects of trauma we talk about. As a child born in the US to parents of African descent, how have you seen trauma transmitted across generations?
Well, I would say I have seen it in so many ways. While our parents live in this Western world, their African culture and traditions of raising children is very, very deeply engraved. Yeah. And so I would say one of the things is there's a deep lack of communication, right? In the Western world, you know, they tell us, communicate with your child, talk to your child. You know, in African culture, it's, you do as I say, I'm the authoritative person in this home. And your voice is very suppressed, right? So there's no room for expression. There's no room to say, well, this is how I feel, and it to be considered. And so if my emotions and what I want to express is suppressed, then that teaches me that I'm not valued, that what I have to say is not important. And then I ideally grow up and become somewhat passive, right? Or if there's instances where I should be assertive and have awareness to speak up, I don't, because I've never been taught how to express myself. And then if we look at trauma, just as I will say in African culture, abuse is very normalized. You see it from, and I'll speak from mine because I don't believe that happens in every household. But you see the men very abusive to their women, right? Women are very subjective. And so I grew up thinking that women were on a lower level than men, right? So a woman was very marginalized when it comes to our culture and the place and the role in which they have in the home. And just seeing a lot of things, I think the big thing for me, and as I was preparing for this interview, discipline is very different in the African culture. It's very abusive. It is not healthy discipline. So I remember there being times where I was overly spanked and spanked very hard, to where there were welts and bruises. And then you go to school and you're covering up those things because in your mind, well, I did something to deserve this, but then you're also carrying shame.
Yeah.
Right? So there's so many things that I see in the African culture that are cultural, but they're not healthy.
Yeah. That's deep. Yeah. Cultural, but not healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it makes it very hard when you are raising African children in a Western world. There has to be a balance. I always tell my parents, and I say this to be funny, but I'm like, Dan, if you wanted me to really be African, you should just raise me in Africa, because then I wouldn't have these messages that are competing with each other. Right? Yeah. Even with food, it was like at home, like, okay, well, I live in America. I want McDonald's, but you want to feed me rice every day.
Yeah. You know? Son of my daughter.
So I go to school and, you know, it's all these. So you don't really have you're African, but you don't really have a sense of identity, right? Because the world you live in today versus the culture that your parents have grown up in is very conflicting.
Yeah, I'm so happy you touched on that, because even as an immigrant mom raising my kids, I can see how I have to be, and also as a trauma recovery coach, like seeing both sides, both worlds, I'm seeing how I have to be intentional about certain things which I took for granted while I was growing up. And for me,
exactly,
the pivotal moment was a documentary I watched. I think it's titled, Am I Too African to Be American, or Am I Too American to Be African? It's about African immigrants living in America, and mostly Sierra Leoneans. And that was really eye-opening for me, because it touched on those aspects of discipline and then children being raised in two cultures, in like the conflicts in the cultures, and not being able to express feelings or to speak up, and the discipline aspects. So that was really a pivotal moment for me, and I had to now put on my thinking cap before I do certain things. And when you just mentioned, why do I have to eat rice every day? I'm like, that's my daughter talking through you right now. We have to eat rice. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know this, Mani, I think they have our African parents have a mindset that because they struggled, you know, I always hear, oh, we used to walk 7-8 miles to school and we drop you off at school. Well, that is why you came to America, for your children to enjoy the liberties that you didn't have.
Yeah.
But there's this mindset around, well, you should be appreciative and anything outside of that is an addition. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
You have given me this liberty so that I can enjoy what you wanted as a child. And I think that's the mindset that they should have is, as a child, what did I want? Mm-hmm. And because this is what I want, now let me step into this role and give my children what I didn't receive.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Instead of having this authoritative relationship. Don't get me wrong. Yes, we know that parents need to be authoritative, but you be authoritative in a way where you create a space for your children to feel safe, to talk to you, to connect with you. Because when I grew up, I was afraid to talk to my parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, right? You're not alone in that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think most of us grew up like that. That's why for me now, raising kids, my idea of discipline is, I go back to the root word. I like to define words for what they actually mean. And I've come to realize that discipline is taken from the word disciple, which means to learn. So if I'm to discipline my kid, are they learning something out of that act of discipline? Because if I just pick a certain way to discipline them and then they don't learn anything out of what they did or the action, then I haven't served the purpose of discipline, right? So, but that now is contradictory to what I had always known growing up. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really so grateful that you shared that with us, the different cultures we grew up in. But now, looking at your own experience, are there any experiences that mirror, like any traumatic experiences you may have noticed that mirror the experiences of your predecessors?
So any traumas, I would say definitely the verbal abuse. I think there's a way that you should communicate to people in general. And I'm not saying this to bash African culture, because there's so many things that I enjoy about my culture. Mm-hmm. I just think that as we evolve as people, especially growing children in a Western world, we need to be very conscious of the words that we say to our children, because whether we know it or not, like the word says, the Bible says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So I think as a parent, you have to be reminded, am I killing my child every day, or am I spewing life on my child every day, right? And so what I see with a lot of children that transcended from their parents is low self-esteem, right? Although we are prideful people, it shows up in a lot of ways, right? And then the way we communicate with each other and the words that we use is very degrading and disrespectful, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lack of, what I wanna say, we talk without truly hearing, right? Yeah. Because in these roles, there's some dominant than the other. So I found as I was growing up, my communication with my parents was horrible. It was. I love my parents, you know, and they're good parents. Don't get me wrong. I think all of us try to do the best that we can as parents. But I would say the verbal abuse. And oftentimes in their life, they don't see it as verbal because it's normal. That's how they, you know, in their culture, that's how they talk.
Yeah.
But it's not constructive to building a healthy human being. Right.
Yeah.
So I would say that, I would say, like I said, and then normalizing what I see in our culture is a lot of openness to sexuality, because women are not respected. So I could see that was transcended a lot in culture. We know that there are things going on in our homes with our families. And I would say that when we hear about things, we tend to not talk about them because they'll bring shame on the family, right? And I say that to say, being molested as a young child, it's something that we see,
but
we don't address, right? So a lot of the sexual innuendos, touching at younger girls, and it just being something that's normalized. Those are a lot of things that I've experienced and seen.
Yeah. That's so true. I think there's so many things we normalize, which we shouldn't. I have been in both worlds, so I know how it is. But we can't really blame maybe our parents or those of us who grew up in that environment, because that is what we saw. That is what we consider as normal. Mm-hmm. But now when we are being self-aware and learning new things, are we open to accept what is new, or to just say, oh, no, I mean, that's how it has to be, sticking to the what we know as normal? I think communication is a very big deal, because we mentioned it before and it still came up again. So either communication, we communicate to our kids, either verbally and even through our actions, because yes, there are things we do that turns out to be abusive, but we just feel like you're just touching someone, there's nothing bad about it. But then that is really something that might leave a negative impact in the person and maybe cause them to live in shame or not be able to speak out in other situations, because they're like, if this is normalized, then what isn't, right?
Exactly, exactly. And then, you know, here in America, these things are talked about in school. We have sex education.
Yeah.
Do we have that in, I know in my country, I haven't seen that. Maybe they do have it somewhere, right? But
I didn't
making
have
this a normal thing where we start. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, going, making it a normal thing where we, something in the Western world, very good. Right? Yeah. That we can bring over into our culture, over into our homes as African families. And so I think having those discussions, mm-hmm. right? Like, if somebody touches you, that's inappropriate. If somebody looks at you this way, that's in, normalizing those messages so that when that happens, your child feels comfortable enough to say, mommy, daddy, this is what happened to me. And not putting the shame back on the child, because you don't want to address this as a community, mm-hmm. when the community is supposed to protect the child.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. And I mean, just listening to you speak, I see your passion, not just as a child of African descent, but as a trauma recovery coach in you. So, Sia, what really sparked this passion for you to become a trauma recovery coach?
So I like to say, I feel, you know, we are believers. Like, I don't even think it's a spark. I think it's just a call. Right? I think that it's something that God knew all along, this is what he created me to be. Mm-hmm. But I think that he knew that all the things that he allowed me to go through would bring me to this point. I've always been a person that I love to communicate, right? People always felt easy to talk to me. And so it just comes natural. And then my background of always being in church, like I've always ministered. So I've always had a desire to help people. And so I think this is fitting for me that I can help people heal, but also minister to people from a faith-based background, right? So give you the truth of your life, but also give you the truth of the word.
Yes. Wow. I love that balance, the truth of your life and the truth of the word, because even the truth of our life, sometimes we still see the truth of our life through the lens of trauma, but the truth of the word is always going to filter it and give us the real truth. That's why I look at it. Yeah. That's so good.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I know, like, even as a colleague, as a trauma recovery coach, I know there are times where that passion, we know it's a calling, and you know that this is what God calls to do and you love doing it, but there are times where we need to refuel it. So what do you do during those moments to refuel that passion?
I think paying attention to how I feel, right? Yeah. While I serve a lot of people, I also have to serve myself in order to be able to serve people better.
Yeah.
Right. So if I don't feel good, I'm compassionate with myself. I'm taking a day off. Whatever I need to do today, I'm going to, if there are times where I don't feel like serving a client, because let's be honest, I think we don't talk about this as coaches. We can get overwhelmed. We can burn out. I will reach out to clients and say, hey, you know what? I'm just really not feeling well today, or I need some time. Are you open to us rescheduling? And a lot of my clients, I've already built a rapport with them. Oh, sure. No problem. Right? You have to pay attention to what you need, because if you don't pay attention to what you need, you can't show up and give your clients and those that you serve the best of you. And I like to be 100% where I need to be. And so I have my self-care Saturdays. You know, occasionally I love to just kind of watch movies, you know, go to the beach, whatever I need to do that makes me feel good. Yeah. Right. And so I'm just very cautious about how I feel mentally, emotionally, and physically. And so those are things that I do to refuel myself. I think one of the things that keeps me going in the work that I do is knowing that what I lived through was had a purpose. And, you know, God didn't allow me to go through these things for no reason. So there are people that are called to me and assigned to my life that are waiting for me to show up. And so, you know, my desire is to give them the truth about healing and tell them about my Father that is the healer.
Oh, wow. That's so beautiful. Yeah. And talking about people who are connected to your life and waiting for you to show up, there's a project you're doing now to give back to your nation of origin. Well, mm-hmm. you were born in the U.S., but where your parents came from, Sierra Leone, right? And yes. When I heard you talk about it, I was really touched. So can you tell us about the project?
Yeah, so it's an extension of Instrument of God that I've extended over to Sierra Leone, West Africa. You know, God has always shown me that I was going to minister to my people. I just never knew in what capacity. And one day, I think it was after I came from Sierra Leone, I knew I was going there to visit family, but I also knew I was going there for assignment. And so while I was there, I just kind of assessed the land, assessed the people, assessed the needs. And I was like, I need to do trauma recovery coaching here. Wow. Like, it's prevalent because the people are not focused on trauma, right? And mental health is the support, the aid in mental health is very limited. Although they're doing work, I've seen some fabulous things with organizations going on there, but my own contribution was to build a life resource center where I could definitely support people in trauma, but also like support their daily needs. So a lot of the areas we focus on, our core pillars are mental health recovery, education and literacy, and economic development. Why? Because that is a whole person. After you heal the mind, you need to give them training. You need to give them skills to build their lives, right? But then my thing is, I do not want people to be codependent, whether it be on the government or the family. So economic development, we want to teach you how to own your own.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
I'm so passionate about this because, you know, while I do trauma recovery coaching here, my goal is to really focus on my country.
Yeah.
Because there's a great need there. So we have a campaign we're launching where we're going to introduce this foundation, all things Sierra Leone, and get to working and serving our clients over there.
Oh, that's so beautiful. God bless your heart and the work you're doing. It's such an amazing project. And I'm so proud of you as your friend and your colleague. If someone would like to get in touch with you concerning this project or your work as a trauma recovery coach or certified Christian counselor, how can they connect with you?
Yes, you can definitely connect with me on my website, instrument-ofgod.com, to learn more about me and my trauma recovery coaching. And you can follow me on my social media platforms, Facebook and Instagram, Instrument of God LLC, and Twitter, I_M_IOG.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm going to put the links to Sierra's social media platform and her website in the show notes so you can just click on it and connect directly with her. Sierra, thank you for sharing your passion, your work, your life, your experience, and all that God has put in you with us today. I'm so happy to have talked with you. And I've learned so much. Even while listening to you, I was trying to take notes, but I know I have to listen to this over and over because it's not so rich. Yeah. I can't listen to it just once. Thank you so much, Sierra, for today.
Thank you so much, Manya. Thank you to your listeners.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I encourage you to connect with Sierra, and you're going to learn so much from her. She's just so full of love and compassion, and you can feel the passion for the work she does. If you need trauma recovery coaching or a certified Christian counselor to talk to, connect with Sierra. You can find her on the social media platform on the link below. And thank you for listening today. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Bye.